إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله عز وجل، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him, we seek His aid, and we ask for His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evils of ourselves and the evil consequences of our actions. Whomsoever Allah guides, none can lead astray, and whomsoever Allah leaves to go astray, none can guide. I testify that there is none worthy of worship and devotion but the Almighty Allah alone. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as he should be feared, and die not except in submission and surrender to your Lord. O mankind, be dutiful to your Lord, who created you from a single person, and from him he created his wife, and from them both he created many men and women, and fear Allah, through whom you demand your mutual rights, and observe the rights of your kin. Surely Allah is ever and all watcher over you. O you who believe, keep your duty to Allah, fear him and speak the truth. He will direct you to righteous deeds and will forgive your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has indeed attained a great achievement. The best words are the divine words of Allah, and the best guidance is that of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And the worst things in the religion are the newly invented matters, for all the newly invented matters in religion are heretical innovation and bid'ah, and every bid'ah is misguidance. And misguidance leads to the hellfire. قال زيد بن أرقم رضي الله عنه كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول اللهم إني أعوذ بك من العجز والكسل والجبن والبخل والهرم وعذاب القبر. اللهم آت نفسي تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع، ومن قلب لا يخشع، ومن نفس لا تشبع، ومن دعوة لا يستجاب لها. أخرجه مسلم. زيد بن أرقم, the great companion رضي الله عنه, narrates that Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم used to say that he would frequently say this dua, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-ajzi wal-kasal. O Allah, I seek your protection from helplessness, from inability, and from laziness and inaction. Wal-jubni wal-bukhl, and from cowardice and from miserliness. والهرم وعذاب القبر, and from the trouble and the pains of old age, the dysfunction of old age, and from the punishment of the grave. O Allah, give my nafs, give myself the taqwa that it needs, the righteousness, the piety, the uprightness that it needs, and offer it the tazkiyah, the optimization, the purification of my nafs. You are the best to offer the nafs tazkiyah and this type of optimization and purification. O Allah, I seek protection in you from knowledge that doesn't benefit, knowledge that doesn't give fruit. And I seek your protection from a heart that does not, or that is not characterized by khushu', humility, humbleness. And from a nafs, from a self that is insatiable, that is never satisfied, that is greedy beyond limit. And from a da'wah, from a call, from a cry that does not get answered. So the Prophet ﷺ would often recite this dua. And one of the beautiful things about our Prophet ﷺ is that he sometimes would teach the companions in very straightforward ways. So he would point out facts, lay them out as they are, in a straightforward fashion, clear language, definitive and simple, and to the point. And although this type of knowledge and education is clear and gives clear results, but it doesn't always sink to the depth of the heart. The Prophet ﷺ would teach through his example, through the way he carries himself, because action holds within it beliefs, truths, human behavior. Within it, there is embedded beliefs and convictions. And the Prophet ﷺ would use his own action and his own example, his behavior, to teach his companions on certain occasions. And sometimes the Prophet ﷺ would teach the companions about principles by making dua, just like the example that we have today. The example we have today is something that captures major realities in the life of the believer and important aspects of our life. So we will try to visit them, hopefully that we would see the wisdom in them, benefit from them, because these points are crucial for our well-being as individuals, and for the well-being of our community, and for the well-being of our ummah as a whole. It has to do with your personal life, and it has to do with the social life. It also has to do with the political life. It has to do with the life of your children and your family. And it has to do with how life unfolds. These are powerful principles, yet the Prophet ﷺ teaches the Muslims about them by means of making dua. And that's a beautiful aspect, as we said, of the life and the example of the Prophet ﷺ, or his teaching style. So the Prophet ﷺ first seeks protection in Allah. He asks Allah to shield him from what? From al-ajz. And al-ajz is inability. Al-ajz is helplessness, is when you are overwhelmed by circumstances that you cannot push back, circumstances you cannot change. So there is a state of helplessness. You are overpowered. And in another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ seeks protection in Allah from وَغَلَبَتِ الدَّيْنِ وَقَهَرِ الرِّجَالِ. And these are two points, two major phenomena that when they happen in someone's life, the person experiences inability and helplessness. العجز. These two sources are غلبت الدين. When someone is overpowered and overwhelmed by debt and financial need, lack of resources, the person is unable to feed their family and take care of their children, and they find themselves having and pushed to approach others, put themselves in a non-ideal position where they ask people for help. And for people who have dignity, which is the trait of a believer, iman, by its very nature, gives the human being dignity. It gives the person a sense of honor, a healthy sense of honor. For a person who has honor, death is easier than putting themselves down to ask someone for help. It breaks their back. And had it been for their own sake, they would have probably endured the pain and the hunger to extreme limits. But when there are dependents, when there is a wife that you have to take care of as a believer, when there are children that you have to take care of, a real man sacrifices everything they have for the sake of taking care of their dependents and not humiliating them. They would take the heat, but they would protect their family. That's غلبت الدين. The being overwhelmed by debt and financial lack. وقهر الرجال. قهر الرجال is in a state where you can't push back against oppression and injustice. You're overpowered by oppressors, by people who don't observe the limits of Allah and they violate your rights. And you can't do anything about it. That state of inability breaks the back of a true believer. And all Muslims today are experiencing that today. When we see the oppression, when we see the crimes, when we see the injustice, when we see the lies and deception in daylight, and we know that we are not in a position to change the situation, we start looking for ways to make a difference, but we know we're helpless. This is a state that is difficult for a believer to deal with. And it's a compromise on one's dignity. And the Prophet ﷺ said, لا ينبغي للمؤمن أن يذل نفسه. That a believer should never allow themselves to be humiliated. So the person, the believer, never invites such situations. But when you find yourself in such a situation, know as a believer, this is extreme. This is an extreme trial by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He allows it to happen to test you. And Allah knows it's painful. Allah knows that it burns your heart, breaks your back. But Allah wants to see, do you submit to the power of Allah and to the word of Allah and to the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing that Allah has wisdom even behind situations like these. So this is al-ajz. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-ajz. This is inability due to external circumstances. On the other side, al-ajzi wal-kasal. Al-kasal. Al-kasal is laziness, is a state of inaction, lacking the drive to do what needs to be done. A person is too laid back to do anything. That's a very low self. Because a self that has dignity, a self that aspires after the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, always looks for great matters to do, for something to do, to get into action, to be constructive, to have a positive life, to engage in constructive work. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu said, إِنِّي لَأَرَى الشَّابَّ فَيُعْجِبُنِي فَأَسْأَلُ عَنْهُ أو فَأَسْأَلَ عَنْهُ فَإِنْ قِيلَ لِي لَا عَمَلَ لَهُ فِي أَمْرِ دِينٍ أَوْ أَمْرِ دُنْيَا سَقَطَ مِنْ عَيْنِي. He says, I see a young man and I admire how they look like. I admire the demeanor of this person. But when I ask about them and I know they are not busy doing something for the deen, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or seeking a living, a business, some kind of worldly constructive work, I lose all respect for that person. When someone has iman in their heart, iman gives the energy to do something. It gives you the drive, the inspiration to do something good, to look around in the world, to use the gifts and the skills that Allah has given you, to develop them, to engage in something meaningful, something fruitful, something productive, something that can make the situation better for the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet ﷺ sought protection in Allah from al-ajz and al-kasal. وَمِنْ وَالْجُبْنِ وَالْبُخْلِ And from cowardice. Because when iman enters the heart and it grows, cowardice leaves the heart. And Allah says to the believers, فَلَا تَخَافُوهُمْ وَخَافُونِي إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ Don't fear them. And that's in the battlefield. Don't fear them. Rather, fear me, fear Allah, if you are truly believers. The level of cowardice in the heart of a Muslim corresponds to the weakness of their iman. When there is more iman, there is more courage, because there is more tawakkul. There's more belief that Allah is in charge and that nothing happens except what Allah wrote for you. Many people think iman is just something to have. Something on the side to have, and it has nothing to do with personal traits. Iman transforms your personal traits. It optimizes us. It completes us. It pushes us to function and to live at the highest standard ever available to humans. وَمِنَ الْجُبْنِ وَالْبُخْلِ And the cousin of cowardice is miserliness. To be tight-fisted. To be so petrified to spend money or to give money where it's due. Wanting to hold on to it and hoard it. And unfortunately today this is something that is praiseworthy. Under the pretext of what? Under the pretext of saving to become rich. And something known among these scholars who spoke about the Arabs of the Arabian Peninsula, especially at the time of the Prophet ﷺ and even before. They said they could put up with any personal or character defect, but al-bukhl. Miserliness, they could never tolerate it. They would never marry their daughters to someone who is a miser, who is a bakhil, who's tight-fisted. They would never marry their daughters, no matter how rich that person is, how courageous that person is, how noble that person is. They would never build relationships with such people. At all. Zero tolerance for that. Why? Because Allah says, وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ Those who are able to transcend the greed of the self. Because miserliness and bukhl comes from the greed of the self. Fear of losing money. Fear of losing the wealth. This attachment, this greed for the wealth. That it becomes the highest value in the life of someone. That they'd rather suffer. That they'd rather their family suffers. That they'd rather other people suffer. But they can't, you know, take a penny out of their pocket. It's easier for them that their soul departs than a penny departs. That's what the Prophet ﷺ sought protection in Allah from. And why? Because it's a form of cowardice. Bukhl is a form of cowardice and they usually come together. Why? It's the greed of the self. It's the low self that is infatuated with this dunya and this life and has no place for higher standards of morality, of dignity, of courage, of generosity. That's how you know a good person from a bad person. What are their values? What are their character standards? Are they the material things? That's a clear declaration that they have a low life and a low standard of character. But if what they cherish And what they sacrifice everything for is higher moral standards, courage, generosity, selflessness, mercy, compassion, justice. Then you know that person is of a high standard of khuluq and character. And that's like gold. Even if they are poor. Because that's real richness. That's real wealth. وَالْجُبْنِ وَالْبُخْلِ وَالْهَرَمِ وَعَذَابِ الْقَبْرِ And old age. Old age often comes with weakness, disease, inability, sometimes even mental impairment. So the Prophet ﷺ sought protection in Allah from having to reach that state where after being at a peak state, after being productive, after being good, after having your senses, starting to lose that, becoming dependent, becoming a burden. The Prophet ﷺ, because of the dignity of a believer, they don't want to be a burden on someone else. They don't want to be dysfunctional to the point that they are unable to take care of themselves. Now, if Allah tries a person with this and they are patient, they get rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if someone has a choice, it's better that they die with their dignity. It's better that they die in a good state. Sometimes people do the unthinkable when they grow to old age and they start losing their ability, for their capacity for judgment and for taking care of themselves. وَعَذَابِ الْقَبْرِ And the punishment of the grave. And that shows you the believer not only thinks about this dunya, when we are dealing with this world, when we are thinking about our life, it extends beyond death all the time. It's not like I have to switch to start thinking of the grave. I have to switch my mindset to start thinking there is Jannah and there is the hellfire, but with my normal day-to-day functioning, I'm just thinking of the dunya. That's not the Muslim mindset. That's not how believers think. When Iman is in the heart, you see it as one entity, as one timeline, crossing from the moment you are born, actually the moment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destined you into existence 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth, in His eternal knowledge. That's where your journey starts. Going through the moment of your birth, going through childhood, adolescence, adult life, and eventually probably old age and then death and then the life of the grave and then the day of judgment and then either ending in paradise or the hellfire. It's one entity, it's one journey. And this kind of thinking about life that it starts with birth and ends with death is not authentic to Islam, is not native to the Muslims. But this is just the emphasis and the programming of the non-believers, forcing their way on us. With so much indoctrination and so much repetition, we've swallowed that. When we think of life, when we think of our future, we always think in worldly terms. And that blinds us to Allah. And that impairs us in terms of judgment and morality. And that's a deficient view of life. Life is a long timeline that extends to eternity. And you should always see it like this. These are just different stages. And death, the life of the grave, is just as an important part of your life, if not more important, than even your adulthood. So, عذاب القبر. Prophet ﷺ, as he asks Allah for protection, he asks for things that we have to deal with in this worldly life, and the next. They're all at the same level of conception and engagement. Then he says, اللهم آتي نفسي تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكها. Oh Allah, give myself, my nafs, which mainly is made of desires and is made of ambitions and is made of capacities that Allah has given us, but they are blind. They need guidance. They need proper management. They need good control. They need vision, which comes from faith, comes from the heart. When the heart dominates over the desires, over the nafs and the potential that Allah put in the self, they are put to good use. Your desires are put to good use. Allah doesn't wipe out your desires, but Allah wants to regulate them where they become productive, where they are fruitful rather than destructive. That's the place. Desires have a place in Islam. These are potential that Allah put within you. Allah doesn't want to take them away from you, but He wants to regulate them so they serve you.
and they help you make it to Allah rather than destroy you. Allahumma ati nafsi taqwaha, knowing that taqwa comes from Allah. Only Allah guides. Your intelligence, your goodness, your family, your ethnicity, your language, none of that gives you taqwa. None of that guarantees iman in your heart. Iman is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You ask for it, you work for it. But it's in the hands of Allah, and Allah puts it where it belongs. And the Muslim is always, you know, aspiring, is always asking for guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He never loses hope. وَزَكِّهَا أَنْتَ خَيْرُ مَنْ زَكَّهَا زَكِّ Tazkiyah is more like optimization of the self, growing it to a high level. And part of that is purification, to remove the evil, to remove the evil tendencies, to remove the misjudgments, the ignorance, the misunderstanding, the sins that we have committed, you know, the intentions, the bad intentions that we have, the bad feelings that we have, envy, jealousy, hate, our tendency for injustice, for selfishness, all of these things are contaminants, they're evil, they're poison, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove them and optimize the good that is in us. And only Allah can do this. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفر. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعده. Then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, اللهم إني أعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع. Oh Allah, I seek your protection from knowledge that doesn't benefit. Is there knowledge that doesn't benefit? Yes. Where do we find it? Everywhere. Everywhere. And you come across it most of the time here, on this, with this. And how much time do we give it? A lot. We are very generous when it comes to time that we give to sources of knowledge, and that knowledge doesn't benefit you. Doesn't benefit you. People think knowledge is good. No, some knowledge is harmful. Some knowledge can take you to the hellfire. Some knowledge can slow you down on your path to paradise. So some knowledge by its nature is harmful and corrupt, and it corrupts your heart and it poisons your system, and you shouldn't engage in it. That's why Muslim scholars said, don't engage when it comes to the matters of the religion with philosophy. Philosophy of the Greeks, philosophy of the Arabs, philosophy of the other nations. All of that stuff, Allah has completed His religion. There's a lot of knowledge that is spread around that doesn't really have true benefit. And benefit doesn't mean financial, because the world that we live in is set up in a way that you get finances and that you can make a lot of profit by doing stupid things. That's the nature of our times. Things that benefit you with Allah. Are there things that make you a better Muslim, or things that help you take care of yourself and your family and the necessities of your life, or helping others in a good cause? That's knowledge that is beneficial. And sometimes knowledge is beneficial, but it's not suitable for you. That's also non-beneficial knowledge for you. And a lot of the Muslims, a lot of the da'wah that you find online now, consume and steal the time of the Muslim population, taking them into petty issues, calling it da'wah online. And a lot of it is what? Fights, backbiting, so-called refutation that benefit no one. It's all about, you know, self-aggrandizement and infatuation with oneself. And when you look, there's very little benefit. People who try to benefit, try to educate, remind you of Allah, teach you about Allah, try to help you learn and practice the things that will lead you to Allah and help you navigate this life. That's it. But those who engage you with so many ways in politics and in society and in the politics of the da'wah and in this area and that area, if it doesn't benefit you, it might benefit someone else, but it's not suitable for you. That's why Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu said, حدث الناس بما يعلمون أو ما يفقهون وما أنت بمحدث قوما حديثا لا تبلغه عقولهم إلا كان فتنة لبعضهم. If you teach people knowledge that is higher than their level, or they don't need it, they can't fathom it, they can't understand it or use it, then you are putting them in fitna, in a trial of confusion. علم لا ينفع وقلب لا يخشع. A heart does not, that is not connected to Allah. The heart can have khushu' only with connection to Allah. It will be humble, it will be peaceful, and it will be guided, and it will be a generous heart. So when the heart, and this is a constant state of the heart, it goes up and down, but it should always be there. Khushu' is humility before Allah. There's no tactics, there's no techniques, there's no way to hack khushu'. Khushu' is a matter of sincerity and true, genuine connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the only way to get it. That's the only, just be simple, be sincere and humble and genuine in asking Allah for guidance. And if Allah is number one in your life, you'll have khushu'. But trying to learn it here, looking for tricks, you're not going to find it. You're just fooling yourself. And nafsin la tashba, a greedy self that never, never gets enough. And we know the destruction of our world today and the destruction of economy is all the result of this. Is all the result of this greed. People who can't get enough when people can't find food to eat or an accommodation to live in. And from a da'wah that is rejected by Allah. And there are reasons why da'wah is rejected. Inshallah, in the future we might talk about that. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين اللهم أبرم لهذه الأمة أمر رشد يعز فيه أهل طاعتك ويذل فيه أهل معصيتك ويعمل فيه بكتابك وسنة نبيك صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم كن لعبادك المؤمنين في كل مكان في غزة وفي فلسطين وفي الشام وفي غيرها من بلاد المسلمين اللهم كن لهم ناصرا ومعينا اللهم أعز هذا الدين وأهله وأذل الشرك والمشركين والمنافقين بعزتك وجبروتك هذا الجلال والإكرام بارك الله لي ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعني وإياكم بما فيه من الآيات والذكر الحكيم واذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم وصل اللهم وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
استووا تراصوا سدوا الخلل حاذوا بين المناكب والأقدام. الله أكبر.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. قل اللهم مالك الملك تؤتي الملك من تشاء وتنزع الملك ممن تشاء وتعز من تشاء وتذل من تشاء بيدك الخير إنك على كل شيء قدير تولج الليل في النهار وتولج النهار في الليل وتخرج الحي من الميت وتخرج الميت من الحي وترزق من تشاء بغير حساب. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. لا يتخذ المؤمنون الكافرين أولياء من دون المؤمنين ومن يفعل ذلك فليس من الله في شيء إلا أن تتقوا منهم تقاه ويحذركم الله نفسه وإلى الله المصير. قل إن تخفوا ما في صدوركم أو تبدوه يعلمه الله ويعلم ما في السماوات وما في الأرض والله على كل شيء قدير. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده.
ربنا ولك الحمد.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
التحيات. السلام.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. Inshallah, as you're exit, inshallah, donate generously and help us, inshallah, to complete the wudu project. Inshallah, be generous, inshallah, as you're exiting. We need all the help that we can, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair.